it can't be tied back to you through your driver's license number. And then, therefore, it will fail the ability to use it as an authentication mechanism in many cases. Well, if you have big concerns about those things and you want some more personalized advice, you know how to reach me.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com. This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD-HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial and 101.7 in Elkhorn and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. Again, it has been over a year since I've had Kathy Dunkerson as my guest on Education Matters, so I'm pleased to welcome you then to our WGTD studios today, Kathy. Kathy's director of the Extended Learning for the Racine Unified School District. Welcome, Kathy, and thank you for taking your time to share with our listeners information about the wonderful and extensive before and after school programs that are available in Racine Unified. Kathy is a Racine native and has been in this position some 18 years, right? 18 years?
Yes.
There you go. So she has excellent understanding of Racine as a community and the Racine Unified School District. By the way, I'm sorry to say, but happy for her that she is retiring at the end of this school year.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Okay, Kathy, you once defined yourself as, for an elementary student, as the principal of the after-school programs at his school. And you repeated that for me when I visited with you the other day. So let's get started today by having you provide our listeners an overview of your position as Director of Extended Learning, and then we'll go into the wonderful details.
Well, I think for young children, they don't understand what the word director means. So for me to say, but they do understand what a principal is.
Yes.
And my role is very much like a principal, so that's just easiest for them to understand. But in addition to, overseeing the entire program, and I should say we have 18 programs within our schools and then four community partners for a total of 22 locations for children to participate.
Boy, that's a talk about balancing.
So basically my role, aside from managing all of that, is also to sustain the programs through finding funds to keep them going, writing grants whenever there's a possibility, and looking for partners to help us expand the program as much as we can. I supervise over 180 staff. basically it's just managing that many locations.
That's wonderful. Boy, you're a principal with a very, very broad area that you take care of.
Yeah, multiple campuses.
Wonderful. Okay, so when I met you earlier this week, you described several new and exciting programs. Let's talk about those first, because otherwise we wouldn't get to them in the program.
Well, we have a lot of new programs this year as far as offerings that we can provide, and we've also, one of them that we will be starting after January is we're going to start a 4K through first grade program at Giese Elementary.
Wonderful.
Currently, they have a second through fifth grade program with the YMCA's Young Leaders Academy, but they don't have anything for the younger students. And early childhood development is very important.
Right.
And so to get the younger ones, some skills and improve on their skills after school will be exciting.
Getting them ready for the regular school.
Absolutely.
How many kids are you expecting for this new program?
Well, Giese's not a very large elementary, so we're probably only thinking maybe 30 to 40 children.
Okay.
That would be a good size.
Excellent.
And then at our high schools, we're starting something new. Again, this is starting right after January. It's called eSports, which I'll tell you, I didn't know what that was when someone approached me at first. I thought it was like fantasy football, but it's not.
There you go.
It's our high school students will engage in learning how to do programming videos, games that they play on a console. They learn how to do streaming, and then they compete against each other. And this is a national competition, so students who are really engaged in it, each year there's a big national competition in Chicago, and so our students were really excited to start participating in this. And the nice piece with this program is we are actually partnering with a business in downtown Racine called Not Your Parents' Basement.
So tell the listeners again, what's the name of the business?
Not Your Parents' Basement. It looks like you're in a basement when you go into this studio, really.
Yes.
It has, 40 or 50 computers in there, a streaming area, all kinds of gamifications, and kids like to play videos these days. And so, at this particular one, they can even learn how to create these videos. So it's a real nice partnership. They've got the facility and we've got the students, so we've partnered to be able to offer that.
And of course, for them, that is clients for the future too.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So that's their payoff too.
So that will engage four of our high schools, Case, Park, Horlick, and the Real School.
Say that again.
So four high school teams will exist, one from Case, Park, Horlick, and Real School.
Wonderful. Now, will there be a teacher then who is the mentor for each of the teams then?
Yes, we will call them their coach.
Okay.
So, yes, the adults will be supervised by, one of the teaching staff at each of the high schools. So.
Wonderful. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah,
great.
I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity. Another program, it's not new for us, but we just had a monitoring visit from the Department of Public Instruction at Case High School, because Case is a grant recipient of 21st Century Community Learning Center funds. And when they came for our visit, they said that the theater program that is an after-school program at Case was an exemplary program.
Wonderful.
They thought it was just, the best that they had seen. And the students were really engaged with the people that were there to observe. And so that's another really good program, and we're really excited about that. In the spring, in February, they will be performing Cinderella. So
keep
your eyes open on our website at the district, and you'll see more information about that, what every little girl wants to go see and get dressed up and come to the theater.
Wonderful.
We have a new program with Mitchell Middle School with a partner out of Milwaukee. They're called H2O, not a water-based program, as this would seem to sound like, right? But it's, again, a video-producing program. The middle schoolers at Mitchell learn how to, edit a video. Well, actually, they, from start to finish, write the video, perform in the video, and then edit the video for a final production.
And so this is a continuation of from before?
Yes.
Okay. And but it's been very successful. How many kids enrolled? Do you have any sense for that?
The first time we offered it, we had 20 students sign up, and I believe just over 20 this second time. So we've done it two cycles so far, and we'll continue to do that. In our programs after school, we really try to keep the class sizes small.
Yes.
Because it's much more manageable, and the kids can learn more if they're all having an opportunity to participate. So the most we will put in a class is 20 at the middle school level.
I see, uh-huh.
So it maxed out.
Makes good sense, mm-hmm. Okay.
Gifford Elementary this year, we are partnering with one of the teachers there, John Sensing. He does a music composition program for elementary students where they learn how to write, music for choirs. And so then they perform them as well. That's a very big program this year. He's got quite a few children in there. And then he also has another separate choir program as well. So I think between the two of them, honestly, I think we've got over 60 children in both of his classes. So that's really special. We do such things like taking our elementary and middle school students to college campuses so that they can experience what college would be like. Many of our students have never set foot on a college campus, so when we talk to them about being career and college ready, they don't really have a clue what we're saying. What does that mean, college ready?
Yes.
So if you can take them when they're younger, then they can start thinking about it. You know, they're not going to say, oh, I'm going to go to that one right
yes.
away, but they're going to get that planted in their head that, oh, that's an opportunity for me, so I know I have to do well in school in order to get down that path.
And there's a possibility then for me that if you don't introduce them to it early, that they don't know what that means.
Exactly. So, you know, we want to do more of that. You know, we're fortunate in the Racine area. We've got, you know, the universities and colleges in the Milwaukee area, and then, of course, we have them here in Kenosha. So it's nice, and, you know, we don't have to drive far to take them to do, you know, college campus visits. Some of our other classes that are really, you know, that have the students really like are robotics. Obviously, that's teaching students about engineering and teamwork. We have that at several of the middle school campuses. I actually even have it at an elementary campus this year.
What elementary campus?
Red Apple.
Oh, Red Apple yeah. for robotics?
Yes. You know, it's so fun to see kids learn how to assemble their robots, program them with a computer, and then, you know, trial
yes.
and error. They try things out, like, you know, making those robots mechanical so that they can do things. It's really exciting to see kids that young to be able to program that on a computer. So.
And they have competitions, too, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, they do. Oh, that's becoming a very popular sport, really.
Yes.
You know, you've got robots that they can battle each other. You've got robots that, you know, they have to perform like certain aspects of, you know, lifting objects and moving them, things like that. And then we've got classes where students learn to assemble drones and program them and then fly them. Again, it's a class where they're learning engineering and, you know, future career possibly. I mean,
great.
They have fun flying them, but what they're really learning is how to program them and
yes.
make them do what their, you know, that little mechanism has
Well, get
them
to do what they want them to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Or
and they're fun to play with, but what they're really learning is a future career skill.
And that's part of the summer program, right?
We did it. We first started this summer, and then we have it at Gilmore Fine Arts School currently. The kids
this
just,
semester.
Mm-hmm,
oh.
They just finished with them. And again, we want to try to connect that learning with a real life experience. So, you know, taking them to potentially up to Channel 58 and seeing how they use the drones in their news, you know, their newscasts.
Ah.
So tying what they're learning after school with a future of, you know, how it could be applicable in the real world.
Right.
And then this summer we also had a survivor camp. Literally, you know, the kids had to learn how to extract water from sunlight and leaves and moisture. They had to collect a bottle of water. You know, if they were left out somewhere and they had to learn how to survive, how to make a camp, how to make a, you know, a fire, how to find food to eat. It was really fun to watch them.
Where did they do this?
This one was at Gifford and Gierstead, and for the summer we used Knapp Elementary for a K-8 program. So Knapp, Gifford, and Gierstead, all three did the program.
And they did it right there and their school,
at the school
facilities.
Yeah, just took them out in the, you know, the surrounding area of the school neighborhood where they had to find
yes.
the things that they needed to survive with.
Oh, that's really wonderful. Okay, so what I've noticed about most of these programs that you're describing here is what I call active learning, and you used the word applied when I talked to you the other day, rather than sitting and reading a book and writing. So tell our listeners how important that is today.
Well, first of all, you know, because we are an after-school program, children have been in school all day long,
yes.
and we literally start right as soon as the school day ends. We knew we needed to find something that would engage them, that would make them want to stay after school and continue to learn. So finding things that are hands-on, meaning they can manipulate them with their hands. So,
yes.
You know, the robotics, the drones, they're just things that that require you to do teamwork with other students. That's really exciting for them.
And apply what they've
yes.
learned then.
Yes. We always follow up our classes with, so let's reflect on this. Tell me what you've learned, you know, with the class. And it's amazing what you hear from students on just sometimes you wouldn't even think some of the things that they tell you. It's like,
yes.
Oh, that's really exciting that you understood that that was part of the learning process.
And didn't you tell me that you go out to what one of the classes, what, once a week or something like that, and to experience what the kids are experiencing?
I go every day. My calendar I set aside from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 5:30 in the evening, because that's about the latest our schools go. I go out and visit each one or two classrooms or schools every day.
Yes.
So that I can really see what's going on, do some troubleshooting if we need to, but also to just watch the learning. That for me is important. It helps me to make sure that we're doing the right things for the students.
That's really, really, really wonderful. And they've had spent the day probably doing a lot of, you know, inactive learning and so forth. So that's really wonderful that they can do these kinds of things after school.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, the whole part of after school programs is to provide that supplemental learning, that experiential learning that they might not get during the day. And we try to, at each of our schools, we try to make the after school program, work or align with what they're doing during the school
yes.
day, but also bring some extra to it.
Exactly. And another thing that it does for parents is provides quality daycare for the kids, so the parents know that the kids are being supervised and that they're safe, etc.
Oh yes, I mean we know that parents work in the afternoon, and so this does provide them a seamless way for their child to get continuum of care, and but in the same time we are bringing to that program all this learning and all this fun learning that children do.
Yeah, you're enriching them
in
terms of these experiences. So one of the many tasks you have in your position is writing, planning curriculum. Tell our listeners what you need to think about as you develop programs. And this is really an interesting aspect. You're really a curriculum planner, which is just wonderful.
We have a couple of different requirements. First of all, we have 7 grants from the Department of Public Instruction. The funding is actually federal dollars from the 21st Century Community Learning Center grants.
Goes to the Wisconsin Department of mm-hmm. Public Instruction
yeah,
in Madison?
It's a flow-through
yes.
money. So rather than the federal government overseeing all of these programs, they let the states oversee them. So you have to think about what are the requirements of the grants. For example, with the Department of Public Instruction, they really wanted programs to focus on literacy and math.
Okay.
But through enrichment classes, it
right.
wasn't like providing literacy and math just as, they do during the day. They wanted you to expand on that. How could children really then, embrace that extra learning but in a fun way? So we put a lot of emphasis on literacy and math in all of our programs. When I look for curriculum, I look for does it have a literacy base or does it have a math component
right.
that we can build into it? And even if a teacher proposes a class, I'll ask them what math standards or what literacy standards does your class propose so that I know that the children are going to get literacy and math learning in that particular
right,
program.
And thus fulfills the requirements of the grant, the people who provide the money.
Correct. And then another thing that we obviously that we want to make sure happens is that the students will like the class. I mean,
yes.
they're not going to come if you don't offer something that they would like to participate in. So when I go to national conferences, there's always vendors there that allow us to look at their products, and so you get to see what there is out there. And if this is specifically for after-school programming, which is really nice, gives you an opportunity to talk to the vendors and the people that are selling their products, and then you can say, well, how does that fit into our after-school program? So over the years, we've been able to provide some really, really nice curriculum through working with our vendor partners and finding, just the right fit for our schools. And each of our schools are different. They all
right.
We don't offer the same thing at every school, so they're all unique and it fits what the school wants. And then the other piece about the whole curriculum planning is just finding that sustainability for it. You know, curriculum can be expensive when you're purchasing it. I'll be honest. I mean, you know, Dwayne, you're in the education system, and so you know, you don't want to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on some curriculum that then the students wouldn't like. You know,
yes, exactly.
What do you do with it? So I really look to make sure it's something that would engage students, it meets the requirement of the grants or our funders, and then, you know, we try it out and make sure that it's a good fit for us.
Right. And you don't want it to be just a one-shot deal either, too, because then that's not very economical in terms of organizing and planning
right.
and so forth.
So, like, one of the curriculum that our students really like, it comes from the Museum of Science in Boston. They've created these engineering kits, and they cover everything from, like, aerospace to earthquakes to invasive species. And so the children have, you know, they work with this curriculum to learn those various things. And it's nice because it comes in a kit. So for a teacher after school,
it's all self-contained. They don't have to chase the stuff down.
Right. I've got my kit. I take it into my classroom with the kids and, you know, go from there.
That's really great. So maybe the next question should be, how do you find people to teach these programs and engage in these activities with kids after school?
Well, I would say primarily the majority of our staff are certified teachers.
Right.
They are daytime teachers who then stay after school and work a couple of additional hours. But we also employ educational assistants, college students, individuals who have worked in the youth development field. Generally, we post for positions.
Yes.
So I'm looking for a teacher to teach, you know, our engineering curriculum. We'll put that out there. But I've got to say, honestly, because we've been doing this for so long, I mean, Racina's had after-school programs for 20 years.
Wonderful.
That was the first year we received some federal funding at that time. So word of mouth is actually, our easiest way for recruiting staff. We have had staff that have been working in our program for, well, I have a few people who have been here as long as I have for 18 years. So that's not, I mean, you know, the consistency of keeping, you know, good quality staff is really important.
And didn't you tell me one at a time when I interviewed you previously about a high school student who suggested a program and it did it run? It did run, didn't it?
Oh, yes. I mean, in fact, we are doing one. A middle school student came to me and had proposed a class. She goes to Starbuck Middle School. And they have to do something called a passion project. It means they have to take on like a community service or you know, something that they are very much interested in. So she came to me and proposed she would like to do a performance in February by allowing students to do like poetry and singing and dancing or playing a musical instrument. So for kids to show off their talents. And the way she sold it to me was, she goes, there's a lot of students in this school who have a lot of talent, and I'd like people to see that. I thought that was spectacular. So I found an adult who will be her, like, advisor and sit there and, you know, help her with the class, because obviously she's a middle school student. She can't manage other middle school kids by herself. But I thought that was just phenomenal. And we've had many high school students who have come to us, you know, over the years with different things. Case just came to us. They proposed a student wanted to get a robotics club started out at Case. So there's all different types of opportunities and, you know, examples of our students even telling us what they want.
And right, and it makes the point then that you're open then to having students come forward. When and this is probably even a step better, because students know what the interests of their fellow students are.
Oh, absolutely. I think that you know, when a student comes to us and asks us to do a particular program, they've already talked to their friends, and we know that we're going to have enough students that sign up for the class to make it worthwhile.
You know, one of the things that we didn't talk about, and I don't think is in the questions here, is before school kinds of programs and so on. You have daycare kinds of things, don't you, in some of the schools? We didn't talk about that, but maybe we could tell our listeners that we have that. You have that as well.
I don't actually run. We do have daycares in our schools.
Uh-huh.
I do not run them, but I am the like go-between the child care programs and the school district. So when a outside, you know, child care
vendor
program wants to start a daycare in the school because maybe a parents, you know, have approached them and said they need daycare, then I work with them to make sure that, you know, what building space do they need, you know, because for licensing, there's certain things that they need. And then, you know, keep them abreast of, you know, what they need to do in our buildings as well. Right now, we have three child care programs within Racine that are providing daycare in the morning and after school at six of our elementary schools.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
And so, for example, when Gilmore Middle School became Gilmore Fine Arts this year. So this year now it's a kindergarten through eighth grade program,
right,
where before it was just sixth through eighth. The younger students and the families that merged with Bull Fine Arts, they needed daycare. And so I was approached from several parents saying, we really need daycare there in the morning because the school doesn't start until 8:35 a.m., right? So I reached out to our child care providers and said, would anybody be interested in this? We put out an RFP. People, you know, applied for it, and now they have daycare there in the morning.
So that need has been met, but it's not a direct responsibility of yours, which is really wonderful, too, because it sounds like you have enough to do being the principal of the after-school programs.
Yeah, I know that families need things. You know, daycare is important, and especially if we want to keep, you know, have our children attending school regularly, it's important that we partner and we reach out. And you know, that is a different need versus what we do in before and after school, because I do have some before school programs. Ours is more centered on a lot of learning, where theirs is centered on making sure they're taking care of the
right
child during, you know, the time that the child is there. Yes, they do activities with the children, but I think, you know, with our programs, we're much more intentional on the learning.
On the learning part. Okay, so let's get back then to your programs, your basics of your funding functioning there in Unified. How do you fund these wonderful programs, and what kind of budgets do you have?
Well, currently we have two sources of funding for all of our before and after school programs. One of them, as I'd mentioned before, is 21st Century Community Learning Center funds, which is federal dollars that's flowed to the states, and then the state puts out grant applications and you apply for them. Currently, seven of our sites are funded through that source of money. The remaining sites are funded through a community service fund, which is a school district allocation of funding that's approved by our school board. We're very fortunate that, you know, our school district feels this program is important, because the majority of our money actually comes from that pool of money. Currently, right now, I have just over $2 million in funding for the, you know, 18 school-based sites and four off sites. So sufficient funds currently.
Yes.
If we're wanting to expand, and we're always looking to expand, but we're almost at all of our schools now, so it's we're pretty much almost at to capacity. I think there's only a handful of schools we're not at.
Is that right?
Yeah, and if we're not there, then the child care program is there, so we're pretty much covered at every school.
Well, that speaks
Racine
well then for the importance of these kinds of programs.
I think so. I mean, there, you know, it's we have to make sure that we're doing these things to keep children safe.
Right, to keep them and learning.
Learning and keeping them safe, because
right,
honestly, with, you know, families working today, if you have a elementary age student and they don't have a place to go after school, they may be at home by themselves, and
right,
we don't want that, right? So, we, you know, that was the basis for starting those 21st Century Community Learning Center grants, was to keep children safe. But then then we really need to do something important with them while we have them, right? Not just to be daycare, but to be something much more. And it was because it was in the Department of Education, why would we not put educational components in it? So that was the forefront behind it. I think, you know, there have been some rocky years about funding for this 21st century grants. 2 years ago, we, after-school programs, really advocated to keep the budget, the money in the federal budget. And then last year, President Trump was trying to completely remove it from the budget. Now, once again, families, parents, you know, people who strongly believe in after-school programs advocated with their senators and congressmen. And we were able to keep that money in there and actually add an additional $20 million to the funding, and it's become bipartisan. Now both Republicans and Democrats feel strongly about these after-school programs because families, their constituents, have reached out to them and said, we need these for our kids.
Exactly. For the culture that we have, for the times that we live in,
correct,
we need these for our children.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited to say that the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, under Tony Evers, had allocated $20 million to be approved in the biannual budget. Now, it's still that hasn't been approved yet, but, you know, again, we're strongly trying to make sure that that happens. And if it does, it's the first time that the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has ever allocated funding towards after-school programs, which is big.
So that's a step in the right direction, which many other states have done already, but Wisconsin has not.
Correct. And so it would allow for us to expand and, you know, have more programs throughout the state.
So at this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today I am visiting with Kathy Dunkerson, Director of Extended Learning for the Racine Unified School District. Our program is focused on the many unique programs currently available in Racine Unified. And now back to our program. And one of the things that we didn't talk about the other day, but I've talked to you on previous programs, is you do have data, too, that show that kids who participate in these programs, do better in school, have better attendance, and do better grade-wise, that sort of thing?
Yes, we do. We collect data each year. We take attendance with the, you know, students after school. So we know that there is a tipping point of which then the child will become, you know, they're academically, it'll help with them academically and, you know, attendance and behavior. Typically be around 40 days of attendance in an after-school program. You will see an increase in a child's literacy and or math, depending on if they're participating in one or more of the other. And we measure that using the measures of academic progress. That's what our school district uses. So we see that the children,
commonly known as MAP.
Yes. And so we see that their RIT score, which is a score that is contrived out of after they take the test, that it goes up from the fall test when they take it and then the spring test. You will see significant growth in many of the students. But more importantly for us is when children attend our after-school programs, we're seeing an increase in their daytime school attendance. And
right,
if they're in school more, they're going to learn more.
Yeah. So, oh, my goodness, yes.
So it's real important for them to be at school. And then we also put a big emphasis in our after-school programs on social-emotional learning, which is, you know, helping children self-regulate, keeping their behaviors under control, really
yes,
learning how to, you know, manage their own behavior. That's
yes,
really important. And we've had many examples where our teachers during the school day will come to us and say, I don't know what you guys are doing, but his behavior or her behavior has improved dramatically.
Wonderful.
That's you know, that's a really nice thing to hear. But yes, we have data. And we have seen over the years that it's been consistent. So it's not like, oh, you know, I
right,
could say last year was just, no, it's just been a consistent, yes, you see improvement in their grades, in their academics, in their behavior, in their school day attendance.
And it speaks well then for investing money in these kinds of programs because it's not only learning on the part of the kids, but, I mean, it's all kinds of things that they're benefiting through.
Absolutely. I think that that we have seen over the years that these programs are important. They're just not, oh, someplace fun to go and play after school. That's not really what they're about. They really are about expanding those learning opportunities for children and making sure that, you know, that they have a lot of opportunities to participate in.
Excellent. Okay. So if someone has an idea for a program, how might they contact you and what information should they be prepared to provide to you?
Well, generally, I just tell people to call our office.
Yes.
And that phone number is 262-664-6990. They can speak to anyone when they call the office, but if I'm in, I'm more than happy to talk to them. You know, we look for obviously engaging programs. So we have a process. We will send them an RFP, which is a response for proposal, that they fill out for us. It has what we need to know if they have the capacities to do the program. And then we review them when they return them. And if we, you know, does this look like a nice class? Do they have all the requirements that we need? And then if it's an outside agency, we will contract with them.
Okay.
Some do it free. They volunteer to do it. I have a wonderful person who's doing a boat building class at Mitchell Middle School and Case High School.
Boat building?
Yeah, I'll tell you a little more about that. And he came to me in the spring of last year and said, I have this idea about restoring either old boats or building like canoes and kayaks.
Yes.
He had just built a kayak himself.
Yes.
He said they have this program in different states, and he goes, so I thought it would be really good to do here in Racine. He goes, I'm a retired person. I've got the time to do it. I also like to do this. He goes, I will get volunteers to come in and work with the students and show them how to make a canoe or a kayak or a paddleboard. Case students are actually restoring an old boat. Which
really?
Is really cool, because that's kind of even a different process. It's a higher level skill, so we're doing it with the high school students. But this is a program where someone came to me and said, I don't need money from you. We want to do this for the students in the school district. So it's wonderful. That's one way. You know, obviously they donate their time to do things, or we contract with certain agencies to provide extra services that we might not be able to provide ourselves.
Yes.
And then also, you know, teachers can propose a class.
Wonderful. Okay, see, so you have all kinds of sources. You know, and one of the things I thought about when I was preparing the questions for today, so since Foxconn is the big news in southeastern Wisconsin today, have you and your colleagues started to think about how you might approach learning about that in your after-school programs?
We're just starting to see and investigate, like, what kind of classes we could potentially do after school for this. But I do know that our academies, if our listeners are familiar with it, our three comprehensive high schools have an academy approach now where students decide a pathway for their career in college, whether that be in business or in health or in technology. So,
yes.
You know, they, and then their courses over the 4 years align with what they want to continue on in college with. And many of them earn college credits along the way. So when they're done with high school, they're already potentially some of them could have 24 credits going into college.
Yes.
That's a whole year of college paid
you
for.
Bet.
Free. No, free 1 year of college, so why wouldn't you want to do it, right? But, you know, we're looking at, and I think a lot of the, as I thought about this a little more, I think that, you know, we're teaching children skills after school that will help them work in a team environment. My understanding with Foxconn, it's a lot of research, it's a lot of,
yes.
So in areas like that, you need to have 21st century skills. You need to be able to be a team player, a problem solver.
Yes.
And so we do that after school. We really are doing that now. And I think that will only lend itself to that. And as we see what's going to be happening at Foxconn, I am absolutely sure we will be building
right.
classes that will teach them about LED lighting and things of that nature.
Even if it's just touring Foxconn right. once it gets built and that sort of thing, like touring college and university campuses.
Oh, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly. So they know exactly that it's there and what it is that they do and what kinds of people that they hire, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Okay. So tell our listeners how students who attend private or parochial schools can participate in these programs, since they are available to those students as well.
Well, all of our programs are open to any school-aged child between the kindergarten and 12th grade who live in the Racine Unified School District boundary area. So basically,
that's the requirement.
Yep. Racine County all the way to Interstate 94 and east to the lake. We cover the entire area. So what we do is, at the beginning of each school year, we send information out to the private and parochial schools, letting them know where our school locations are and what the type of programming that we have at each of the locations. We send them packets of registration materials and ask them to, you know, provide them to the parents. We will do that again in January. We did it in September. We will do it again as a second
right.
round in January, just so that, because halfway through the year, we start changing up some of our classes, so there might be something that's out there that they're very interested in. During the summertime for our programs, we get a lot of children that come from the private and parochial schools.
Yes.
One, because private parochial schools don't really offer summer school programming too much. I think Prairie does, but the others around here do not. So that you know, gives their students an opportunity. But
and the price is right, too.
The price is very right. and we also provide an opportunity for children who are homeschooled. They can participate in our program.
Okay,
as well.
I was going to ask you that. What about homeschool kids? So they can participate as well.
Absolutely. We just, you know, if there's a family out there, there's a parent out there that wants information, and their child does not participate in Racine Unified, but would like to see about having their child participate in these after-school programs or summer programs, they can simply call our office as well.
So I'll give the phone number again.
262-664-6990.
Wonderful. Okay. That's great. And you were telling about Dr. Jones School. The kids come from Evergreen Academy across the street to Dr. Jones?
Well, they can. Evergreen just opened this year.
In their new facility.
New facility. They actually get out a little later than Dr. Jones does. But I have talked to the president of that school, or charter school, and have informed him, you know, their students are more than welcome to cross the street and come over for some extended learning opportunities. So I haven't checked recently if we have any of them there, but that's a good question. I'll have to look at my data to see if we do have any of those students.
There you go. So in our conversations, you also indicated that you partner with several youth-serving organizations, such as Racine Park and Recreation, and Focus on Community and so forth. Tell our listeners about those, and we're getting toward the end of our time here.
Okay. Well, real quickly, we've had a long-standing relationship with a lot of organizations in the city of Racine. Park and Rec is one, Focus is another one. But we continue to go out there and look for local partners to come in and provide some unique classes for us. So we, we expanded on many of them this year, but we continue to partner with those that we've been doing with for years.
Okay, and then another thing that we should probably talk about is cost. Is there a cost for students to participate in these programs, or are there scholarships available? What about that?
So the seven schools that we have that are grant-funded schools, there is no cost whatsoever because we receive a large grant.
And this is state grant.
The state grants, and there's no reason to charge fees because that grant covers everything. But for the schools that we receive funding from the school district, we do charge a small fee, anywhere from a minimum of $5 to the maximum would be $15. And we base it on a child's lunch status. But if a family contacts us and says, you know, I'm having financial hardships right now, I will waive a fee for any child.
Wonderful. So you consider the circumstances of the parents. Well, on that note, we need to close up here. So to our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as I visited with Kathy Dunkerson, Director of Extended Learning for the Racine Unified School District. Our program focused on the programs that are available in Racine Unified, ranging from help with homework, enrichment, career exploration, and so forth. Thank you, Kathy, for this most informative program. We wish you well in this most important aspect of the functioning of the Racine Unified School District. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
That's really wonderful, and I know that many listeners are that if they can't afford that amount of $120 to help 24 people in need for food, or at the $240 level, 48 people in need. It's just really a wonderful way to show you.
This is our 14th season, with our 15th season ready to roll out in February of 2019. Our theme for this holiday show is the Stage Door Canteen, as we continue our World War II theme this season. The Stage Door Canteen was started at the beginning of World War II. The canteen offered servicemen nights of dancing, entertainment, food, and non-alcoholic drinks, and even opportunities to rub shoulders with celebrities. And all this was for free. This morning, our program is coming to you live from Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, Wisconsin. And it is featuring the music of the Riverport Chorus, the Dixie Dudes, and to start off our show today, here's Bill's Little Big Band.